A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are all about community, growing community through commerce, making our world a better place through connections and business. That's a good thing. We're proudly presented by the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. Today, it is community through the lens of small business. Honestly, I've never really loved the term small business. It can be interpreted wrong, I think. You know, a small business, it's not a less business. It's not as good of a business, right? That's not the way to look at it. It's kind of the exact opposite. Businesses that aren't big corporations, they don't get all the glory, they don't get all the stories. But small business, and we're talking about firms with less than 500 people. That's kind of the way the definition goes. But small business is 99.4% of all business in the state of Wisconsin. So it's a true economic driver for the economy. We're going to talk to Pat Miller, founder of Small Business Owners Community. We'll talk to Pat about the state of small business, the challenges on the horizon, marketing, and more. Speaking of more, Martin Moore is going to join us later in the show to talk technology, change, ooh, even a big battle coming in tech. I think that battle is going to be Netflix versus YouTube. Some changes coming that we will discuss. But as we do each and every show, we're going to go two up.
Up one, two.
Now it's time for the
two, count them, two.
Two up on the upswing.
Two up, two things in the business community that I'm seeing that you need to know about now. First up, on a true community level, Pete's Pops. Yes, our good friends at Pete's Pops, that custom popsicle brand, has its main operations in Milwaukee. It's going to pop up with a new location this summer in Grafton. Just 655 square feet on Beach Street in Grafton, but a new shop. It's going to have a walk-up window, going to have space for freezers, storage, a restroom, and more. Going to have two shifts, and will be open daily from noon to 10 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday, closed on Mondays. Business plans to open in June. Pete's Pops is now owned by Ian Robinson. Ian joined the Upswing a couple months ago to talk about his plans, and this was definitely one. New locations as they continue to expand across the state and more. Started in 2014 as just one single push cart. Now dozens of rotations of flavors, innovation, stores in Bayview, West Allis, Whitefish Bay, and coming soon this summer to Grafton. Second up is your community hot. The Milwaukee housing market is off to a little slower start in this new year, down slightly from the same time last year. Metro average home prices, we're up only 4.3% year over year in the first quarter of 2025. But I wanted to look at home prices in a bunch of select communities. Maguanago, average sale price is up to $530,489. That's up 30% year over year. Cedarburg, also looking really good. Average sale prices at $584,000, up 14% year over year. New Berlin average sale price, $486,689, up 7% year over year. And another community that is doing really well so far this year is Slinger. The average sale price there, $388,000, up 8% year over year. And the average number of days on market in Slinger, down from 49 last year at this point to only 34 days on the market in Slinger. Cedarburg, you look on days on the market for homes there, only 17 days. So houses are going really quick. Although there's uncertainty in the economy for sure, and mortgages are a bit down in terms of total applications, but there's still a lot of hot communities in and around the state of Wisconsin. Coming up next, small business with Pat Miller.
The Upswing will be right back on WTMJ. Back to business. Here's more of The Upswing on WTMJ.
Welcome back to The Upswing, proudly presented by Horicon Bank. We are joined in studio by Pat Miller. Pat's bringing not only his small business expertise, but an entire community and tons of clarity and creativity that he has accumulated over, 20-plus years in the space, Pat? He's an idea maker and the founder and president of the Small Business Owners Community. Pat, I want to first just talk about mindset, because mindset's such, when you go into a business, maybe first time as an entrepreneur, I think a lot of people may struggle a bit with imposter syndrome, right? Like, hey, am I ready for this? Can I really do this? From your lens, how do you counsel people on getting over that doubt to really believe that you can compete in, like, a business world that now is just more competitive than ever?
Yeah. First of all, thanks for having me on.
Of course.
And
yeah.
Imposter syndrome is the grim reaper of small businesses. People start and they're good at doing one thing and they realize they have to do everything else. And all of that everything else is often for the first time. So then they're walking into rooms and taking on tasks they've never done before. And they start to think, maybe I can't do this. Maybe I'm not good enough. And the place that it really manifests is sales.
Yeah.
When they have to take their knowledge, expertise, and go out and ask someone for money, that's when the doubts pop up. So how do you get past that? The way that I found that's the best way to get past it is to not think about you at all. Think about what you do as a transformation for your ideal client. So when you have to go ask for money for the ideal client, or you get invited to come on WTMJ radio and you're kind of freaked out about it, you remember you're sending your message to fight for that ideal client, not for you.
Yeah.
It's like the theory of if a car fell out on our kid, we could pick the car up because it's not about us, it's about our kid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're fighting for an ideal client, it gets you past me and my imposter syndrome. And it makes it about the client that I'm fighting to serve.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Someone once told me it's not necessarily about thinking outside of the box. Mm-hmm. It's about thinking into another person's box.
Yeah.
And when you when you think that, you're like, wow, that is it. Like, I need to get out of my head. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's focus on the person next to me and really find a way to solve problems.
Yes. And when you're thinking that way, you can charge more. Because the big limitation with imposter syndrome is not only being afraid to do things, it's being afraid to ask for what you're worth and then some. Because the game is, if you're a small business owner, the game is, and I heard someone say this, it's not my line, but it's so true, ask for as much as you can with a straight face.
Yeah.
And the only way you get there is with enough confidence and belief that when they say yes, you're going to deliver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what about showing up day to day as a small business owner as your authentic self? So much talk about branding and leadership in the small business space. What do you say to people that I can't be me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does that look like in the small business world?
I believe that if you can't be yourself, you might as well go get a job. Your ultimate differentiator will be what you think and how you do it. And until you have the confidence and courage to step into how you're one of one and you're delivering your products or services unlike anyone else, no one will ever remember you. No one will ever notice you. You'll never be able to charge what you're worth. And it's really a matter of time until you run out of money and energy and you have to quit.
Yeah. And so getting through that mindset block, especially in Wisconsin, in a state that, you know, we're all, it's a nice state,
yeah,
right?
It's a nice
people
state.
Are nice and kind, and there's a lack of pretense.
Yeah.
How do you break through that mindset block when you just know that, wow, everyone's kind of nice, but ultimately, I got to sell and move my business forward?
Giving people clarity about what you do and how you do it differently is a gift, because right now, someone is sitting out there wishing that you would help them. But they will not find you if you don't find that specificity and confidence to say, Jeff, I'm the product for you. I'm the one that can change your life. If you can't express it that clearly, you're not helping them. So it goes back to understand who you're trying to help and how you're doing it.
Yeah.
Clarity and confidence is a gift to your client. It's not bragging. And that's something Midwest Nice that we all hide from.
Yeah.
The confidence and clarity about what we do, it opens the door to change people's lives.
When we come back, I want to talk about the current business climate. There's a lot of uncertainty. Maybe there's always a lot of uncertainty, but it feels a little heavier right now. So I want to get your thoughts on the current small business climate. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, and we are talking with Pat Miller.
Back with more of The Upswing after this. The Upswing is back on WTMJ.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are joined in studio by Pat Miller from the Small Business Owners Community. Pat, again, appreciate your time.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure.
Today. So let's talk about the current kind of economic environment that we're all living in and battling through. In your experience, what are some of the kind of common misconceptions that small business owners can have kind of around a coming downturn? Like, what is it time to do now for small business owners? Is it time to rethink and recalibrate, or what should we be looking at?
Let's differentiate between the two types of folks. There are people that have inventory challenges, and then there are service providers. I specialize with service providers.
Okay.
But to talk to the inventory folks that have shops and retail and restaurants and those kinds of things, they're in a soup right now because their supply chains are at risk and no one knows what's going on there. So we're going to say a prayer for you, and I'm not going to address that. I know that's a challenging environment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For service providers, however, what I'm telling my people and what I believe right now is that the economy as a whole is important, but it's not everything. Because if you do a good job with your own sales and marketing funnel, you can create your own economy. So what should we be doing right now? We should be out there running as quickly as we can to find past clients that we've worked with, look-alike clients that we haven't contacted yet. And I believe we should be going headlong into marketing and customer acquisition to get more people into your lead funnel and create your own economy. Because when you're a service provider, coach, consultant, agency, whatever, one or two new clients changes your year. We don't need to go find 100 new clients to make 2025 better than we thought. So I'm telling people right now, yes, it's scary.
Yeah.
Yes, it's uncertain. But the overall Dow Jones Industrial Average might not affect your sales funnel as much as you having the courage and discipline to fill it with potential leads.
Okay. And do you suggest additional outreach in these times, or is it kind of just trust the process and stay the course?
People that trust the process go out of business. People that trust the process and think it's just going to be fine, those are the ones that don't make it. Every day, all the time, if you go to bed and realize I didn't do any business development today, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And especially right now. Because if the economy's great, you may get a disproportionate amount of business. But if things get a little rocky, either now or in the next few months, the spoils are going to go to those that hustle. And something I say all the time is we eat what we kill. So if you're not leaving the cave every day to go out and make a sale, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Do you think – that's a good point.
Thank you.
Do you think, kind of given the macroeconomic climate, that there are even more opportunities on the micro level for small businesses now?
That's a really interesting thought.
Yeah.
I think if people are specializing their products, because in a rocky time, I always want folks to think about what are they the best in the world at and really focus on that core deliverable. So there may be fewer competitors doing your specialty. So that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can really address macro to micro.
Okay.
But in that environment, when it gets rocky, really doubling down on what you're the best in the world at, I think, is the lifeboat to get through whatever's coming.
Yeah, stay laser focused on you and your business and those loved ones around you. And generally, things are going to work out the way they're supposed to, right? It's a hard thing sometimes when there's turmoil, but you're going to get through it.
You know, there's one thing you can do, though, is don't listen to your friends on Facebook or your family members or other people who you play golf with. They're not entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
They don't understand. You cannot be around people that don't understand small business owners and take their advice. You have to be surrounded by other entrepreneurs that get it.
Yeah. One other thing that I think some people don't understand is, and I've heard you say this before, that you got to take time to work on the business rather than just being in the business. What does that look like from a mindset standpoint, especially in times when we need additional clarity.
Mm-hmm. We have to use every day to the maximum, which means really good time hygiene, making sure that you're not getting distracted by side quests, making sure that you're not wasting your time on things that don't move the needle. Because we can work on the business and have a great looking factory and no clients. And it's very comfortable to do that. Oh, I was busy today. What did you do? All these things shining up the shop. Great. Do you have any clients? Well, you know, that's not a plan. Yeah. So working on it is super important to help make it more efficient and to help you get more stuff done. But I caution people not to make that a distraction from going out and being customer facing.
Yeah. And, you know, speaks to accountability, too. Having a manager or having a coach along your side helps give you that clarity when you're like, oh, I'm doing something. But know what? You should be doing this.
Yes. Coaches, everyone should have a coach. You can't read the label from inside the bottle. You have to have someone who has experience and perspective to say, hey, Pat, you're not doing the thing you said you were going to do. Or when you said it that way, here's what I heard. Because you can run your business independently right out of business. You have to have people around you that will be honest with you and will give you direction.
Very good. We're talking with Pat Miller. Pat, you have a big event coming up on Tuesday, Small Business Owners Virtual Summit. When we come back, we're going to talk all about it. This is The Upswing, and we are proudly presented by Horicon Bank.
The Upswing will be right back on WTMJ. The Upswing is back on WTMJ.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee with Pat Miller. Pat, you have a big event coming up this Tuesday, which is April 29th, the Small Business Owners Virtual Summit. It's not just another webinar, right? I mean, this is like an immersive, inclusive live strategy session to really dive in, learn more, not only about ourselves, but about how to do business better. Give us the overview, and then I have a couple specific questions that I want to dive into with you.
Yeah, this is a red alert situation that we're in because 2025 doesn't look the way that we thought 2025 was going to be. We made big plans at the beginning of the year, and now every single person in small business, we need to reset our strategy and understand what do we need to do in Q2 and Q3 to hit our numbers by the end of the year. So this event is bringing in the smartest person that I've ever read, Seth Godin, 22-time New York Times bestseller, my marketing hero, who wrote a new book called This Is Strategy. Okay. And I get a one-on-one interview with him to talk about the strategy of our business, the tough choices we should be making right now, and how we're going to save the year. And it's something every small business owner needs to hear.
Maybe I can learn from you. I can always learn from you. Well, we can always learn from one another.
Yes, yes.
How do you prepare for an interview like that?
I get curious. So I think about who am I trying to serve? And then I think, what do I think they want to know? And then I also try and follow my curiosity when I'm interviewing someone. And you know this because you interview people all the time. The great interviewers are listening more than they're speaking, and they are hearing what the other person is not saying and drawing it out of them. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got a laundry list of questions I'm dying to ask Seth.
I have all of his books. They're all highlighted. You got Post-its all over.
Yeah, absolutely. But I want to stay on topic for the people that are coming. So what do my people need to hear about how to make 2025 work and the strategic choices we need to make? Mm-hmm. Those are the things that I'm thinking about with this precious time because you just don't get a chance to talk to Seth Godin. Like, I'm completely freaking out. I cannot wait.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, a wonderful opportunity for small business owners to plug in and learn from Seth. Who are some of the other keynotes on the call?
We're talking. We've got two other keynotes. And the first, the second keynote, rather, is we're addressing the fact that as an entrepreneur, you never have enough time. So the number one coach for productivity and time, Julie Miller Davis, she's also a small business owner, is coming in to teach us how to maximize our week. Mm-hmm. So how do we find productivity every single day, every single week, even when we don't feel like it? Mm-hmm. So Seth is talking strategy. Julie Miller Davis is talking about time and how do we maximize it. And then the third person we're bringing in is an international expert on audience building because every single entrepreneur wants to find more people to sell to. That means building your audience. Hmm. So I brought in Mark Asquith, who's the founder of Captivate Podcasting. It's one of the biggest podcasting platforms in the world. He's in London. I'm going to interview him about what does he see about audience growth and audience development. So as an entrepreneur, we can create content that reaches more ideal clients. So more clients, more time, and making the right choices with your strategy. Three big things our people need to hear right now.
Every company, no matter the size, I always say this, is a media company.
Yep.
But sometimes it seems to be like, whoa, that's something I have to do. Like, it should just be something that is germane to what you do as a business owner. Yep. Am I right about that?
100%, especially today. If you go out and say, here is what we do, people will maybe notice that. If you go out and show people what you do, for example, if TMJ was doing video of our interview here and people could see how passionate you are about this show and how much work you put into the interview and how much care you put in to get the story out for your people, that's going to cut through 10 times more than listen to The Upswing presented by Horicon Bank. Blatant plug.
Wrong. Yes. Right? Yes. Well, that is the wonderful thing about the virtual summit. It is presented by the very good people at Horicon Bank. Yeah. So, and they truly are a media company, too.
They are.
I mean, they can provide anything for you. On the financial side, podcast studios, like, they crank out some really interesting content, which every company should be doing.
I agree.
As you counsel so many small business owners day to day, how do you define success?
Freedom of time and freedom of money. That's the finish line. When you get to a point where you get to choose the rooms that you walk into and you can do literally anything you want with the money that's in the bank and you have security for your family and your future, freedom of time and freedom of money, that's how you make it.
Very good. Pat Miller, I appreciate your time. All the best with the virtual summit this coming Tuesday, April 29th. Where can people get more information?
9 a.m. to noon is the time. Smallbusinesscommunity.com, and the link to buy is right at the top of the page.
Very good. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Thanks so much.
Back with more of The Upswing after this. It's time to fast forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on The Upswing. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Martin Moore.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are joined by the one and only Martin Moore, content creator, Cost Stereo Headphones, our technology and creativity guru. Martin, how are you this beautiful day?
I'm not. You know what, Jeff? It's like 60-something degrees.
Yes.
I'm thriving right now. Like, I feel like we are on the upswing of summertime, and I'm here for it, man. I just...
Sunshine and smiles. That's what
so
it's all
excited.
About.
Bucks
this
play
is, this
tomorrow.
Is your weather. Yes.
Just overall, I'm in a relatively good mood.
I love it. I love it. So I walked into my local Starbucks the other day, and they seem to be embracing the return of the doodle.
Mm. The cup that
the
you can like.
Customized creative drawings and names on cups. And it seems to be a directive from the CEO that baristas now have to make sure that they're personalizing every cup with the Sharpie, with a doodle, with a name, and really getting to know us as customers.
Sure.
Surprise and delight, maybe a little bit of confusion, though, for some. And it's interesting. I'm seeing people starting to share these on social now. And like anything in this wonderful divided world of ours, some people love it. Some people hate it. I embrace the creativity of it. But what do you think? From a corporate mandate standpoint, Starbucks saying it is time to bring back the names and the doodles.
I like it. I mean, it was something that they did years ago, and I believe, didn't they get a new CEO, and they wanted to do some cost savings, and so they got rid of it. I think anytime you sort of, as a brand or a company or as an organization, you grow to the heights that something like Starbucks has, you become very corporate.
Yeah.
And that relationship with the customer and their relationship with you becomes very sterile. Mm-hmm. And so I think anything you can do to sort of personalize that customer experience, I think is a good thing. Now, how well they execute that and what they write on the cups, you know, is going to be up to the creativity of each employee. But
right.
I like it. And, you know, if you have a couple employees here or there scattered around the stores who can write something fun or inspirational,
yeah.
or, you know, maybe they see you're in a bad mood and they change your day, people will post that on their Instagram story, on their TikTok. And so I'm here for it.
Yeah.
but then you get the employee that doesn't care and just writes nothing. Yeah. Or it's their last day and writes and you go viral for the absolute wrong reasons. But I like it. I think it's a great idea. And I think, like I said, anytime you can create more of a personalized relationship with customers when you're that high up in the corporate food chain, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, you don't want employees to feel pressure when you're really busy. You don't want it to feel forced. You want it to be authentic.
Yes.
And I think these type of things, no matter how big the corporation is, it ignites a bit of creativity on the employee side.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to like throw down this big corporate mandate. But at the same time, you want to give employees the space kind of tap their internal creativity, right? And that's what it's all about.
And I wonder if there's any sort of like, this might sound dumb, but any sort of class like that you go to for a half a day or something where they go over some of the things that you can write, you know, pound into their heads, do not spell their name wrong, do not spell their name wrong,
exactly.
Do not spell their name wrong.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it's cool. I think it's a cool idea. And you know what? If it doesn't work, well, then you stop doing it.
Exactly. Right. You're going to get backlash. You're going to get some misinterpretations. You're going to get viral social moments when people are saying, oh, look at what they drew on my cup. But that's okay.
Hey, what do they say about
kind
publicity?
Of part of it. Yes, indeed. You got to love it no matter what. All publicity is good publicity. So I encourage you, next time you go into your local Starbucks, share what's on your cup and let's rate and rank.
What would really be unfortunate is like you go somewhere and you see like this really cool like handwritten message on your cup, and then you like look at the person next to you and they have the same message, and then the person to the right of you has the same message. Everybody has the same message.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, you're like, come on, personalize this for me. Get to know me, ask me questions. So
I wonder if they pre-handwrite stuff on cups to save time and give them some sort of flexibility to come up with creative stuff.
Yeah, I saw that in one story. They're like, well, you can't just have a bunch of cups that are pre-doodled, right?
Sure you can.
Well, maybe you can, but that's not in the spirit of what this is all about.
Just don't let the customer know. That stays internal.
Oh, the customer
that stays internal.
Always first. All right. So let's talk a bit more about taste and creativity.
Mm.
We're living in this AI world. There's so many tools now. How do you keep creativity about meaning day to day? Like Martin, you're working at cost, looking to innovate, looking to create. How do you do that in your life?
You know, it's tough. It's one of those things where, you know, back before I started with cost and I was doing the vlog and my photography, you know, being creative and being a creative was a choice. And I was a switch that I could flip on and off. And if there's days where I wasn't feeling it, I could sort of regather my thoughts, find inspiration somewhere. But when you do it for a career, you can't turn it off. You have to be creative every day, whether it's a marketing campaign, I'm part of product design, the way that the website looks. You have to do it day in and day out. And that's a very, very difficult thing to do. And one of the reasons why I think that I'm very good at it and I'm able to do it was because when I did my daily vlogs on YouTube, I would make a video every single day. And when you do something like that and you force yourself to be creative in a repetitive way like that, you get to a point where you're like, I'm out of ideas, but I have to do something. I got to make a video. And so you dig down real deep and figure out how to make a trip to the gas station or the grocery store entertaining and creative and accessible. And that translated over to costs when it comes to marketing campaigns and social media copy and product design. But it's tough. Design is a language.
Yeah.
And it's a language that not everybody understands. And so you have to get them to understand where you're coming from as a business or a brand.
Is it easier or harder with all the AI tools now?
I think it's easier, but that's a bad thing. I don't personally use AI to like create ads or ad copy or any of that kind of stuff, mainly because it plagiarizes other people's artwork, other people's copy.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of people in the business who would use AI as a crutch.
Right.
And not to say that it can't create something creative. You can go in ChatGPT and be like, hey, write me 10 posts about headphones that'll go viral. And you can certainly do that. But it feels very inauthentic. And eventually it's going to catch up with you. And so to answer your question, you know, yes, it makes it easier, but I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. I think it's a bad
thing.
Yeah,
I mean, all the AI and the production tools becoming maybe a little bit more automated, but I think the designer role
yes.
is going to become even more important and take on more meaning because you got to kind of tap into your creative soul even more now.
Sure. What I would love to see with AI, as far as especially just designing like an ad or a product, where you could, and this is years and years and years down the road, where it could basically create, an AI model based off your own IP. So I could feed it all of our headphone designs, all of our concepts for headphones, all of our copy, and everything is just contained within the Cost universe or the Martin Moore universe or the 620 universe. And then it can create things generatively based off of just your IP versus, you know, using something from someone else that maybe isn't the same sort of design language or copy that you would otherwise use. Mm-hmm. That feels less dirty, in air quotes. That I could see a potential to happen in the future where you can subscribe to something like ChatGPT or Gemini, but you feed your own AI model, whatever it is that you want it to pull from. That, I think, could give you a great starting point designing a product or an ad campaign or something like that.
As long as it's authentic and verified, which I want to talk about when we come back. Blue Sky's rolling out a new official verification for its social media platform. What's it going to look like? What should it look like? We'll be right back. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing, and we are proudly presented by Horicon Bank.
The Upswing will be right back on WTMJ. Back to business. Here's more of The Upswing on WTMJ.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Martin Moore, social media expert. You know, social media, I've said this for years, social media is not just media, right? Yep. Take away the social, it is just anti-social media. Yes. But you look at the newer platform, Blue Sky has been growing at this rapid rate. The site's added more than 15 million users since the election in November, pushing it to over 35 million. So, Martin, it's getting to that point where, okay, it's time to verify accounts. It's time to give people that official, maybe the blue check. What should that look like, especially from a platform that is proclaiming decentralization, freedom, voice your opinion, but you got to trust and verify. How should Blue Sky best roll this out?
I mean, I think the way that they're currently doing it, which is antithetical to where Meta and Twitter have gone, where you basically just buy it. I'm not a fan of that. I've always been a fan of the way that verification used to work, where, you know, if you're searchable, if you are in politics, if you're a news organization, if you're athlete, you know, if you're someone with status and you can be misrepresented or have fake accounts, those are the types of people that should be verified. Mm-hmm. Regular Joe Schmoes shouldn't be verified because people can, you know, you look at how much you can influence the way people think. You can influence, you know, whether someone protests or not. You can influence the stock market going up and down. And people with large audiences and large voices and large influence, you know, they need to be verified in my mind because they have such large following. And that's how you can get misinformation to spread or not. When you let anybody get a blue check mark, now the playing field's level and I can start influencing things that otherwise I may not have been able to.
Yeah, I mean, having some type of, which they're doing, a multi-format verification, continuous monitoring. And so the verification isn't about, oh, I just have a huge number of followers, give me the blue check, I'm important. It is truly having that trusted verifiers, that third-party authentication that makes the platform...
Is that what Blue Sky's
feel
doing?
...feel right. They're going to have... account verification that's carried out by an independent organization for company accounts, which I think is the way to go.
Sure, sure.
Because that way, like, hey, my company can't have six other fake Sherman Inks out there.
Absolutely.
So you want to have that verification from a third party. Mm-hmm. And then if it's your own account, you want to make sure that that moderation is there to make sure, hey, this is for sure Martin Moore.
I mean, I would be fine if it was like sort of like a two-party system where, you know, you got a gray badge that said verified or you just got like a gray verification badge. And then if you were of importance, you got a blue verification badge or a check or something like that so that there was a differentiation between just a regular Joe Schmo and, you know, someone who's important, someone who's earned not the check mark, but you know, earn the right to be in front of the algorithm. And they're experts in their field, whether they're an athlete or a musician or a writer or something like that.
Yeah.
I just don't think that every Joe Schmo can just get an account, get it verified, and then, you know, be pushed to the front of the line. I don't think it works well.
Yeah. All right. Quickly here, we got about another minute. Wauwatosa has a big new piece of public art that they're going to debut May 28th.
A Picasso?
At Firefly Grove Park.
Okay.
It's a big old wooden troll.
Troll? Like a bridge troll?
Like, they're a troll under my bridge, indeed.
Like a troll? Like the movie's troll?
They're going to have a trail. They're going to have a sledding hill. They're going to have a bicycle pump track. It's going to be this huge thing. Over a ton in weight, 25 feet tall.
What?
Does a troll get you to a community?
No, it does the opposite. Is it like a collecting tax revenue or something?
Isn't that like an Instagrammable moment? You have this huge wooden troll in Tulsa. And I'm a Tulsa boy. That's my hometown, Martin.
So there is something to say about putting out just like a gratuitous, obnoxious piece of art, like a giant red boot or something like that. Like people will drive by and take a picture of it because it's so ridiculous. And so in a way, it's kind of genius versus having, you know, like a really nice piece of art that maybe people otherwise wouldn't be like, oh, that looks pretty. And then just kind of keep walking past. You got to take the selfie with the troll.
Yeah.
So
you got to do creative.
Not my cup of tea.
You got to use creativity to stand out in community.
I live
and
in
that's
Milwaukee,
what Wauwatosa
so
is doing. I say embrace the troll. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Debuting this May in beautiful tree-lined Wauwatosa. Martin, always appreciate your time and insight and your energy. Get outside, enjoy the sunshine.